Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You know, Gil, when you're on the top of the charts as a sports podcast, you got to keep the shows coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we got news for people. We got a lot of episodes coming, and when they can't wait for the next episode to drop, we got just the place for you.
The Himalaya app.
That's right. Be one of the first to listen to the No Chill podcast a day early on Himalaya. Himalaya is a brand new podcast app where you can find every single podcast you love and future favorites. If you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya has your back like they have our back. You discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcasters like us some love with Himalaya's tip jar. It's free. It's the easiest to use, and they're adding cool new features every day. Go to the App Store, download Himalaya, H-I-M-A-L-A-Y-A. And don't forget to follow the No Chill podcast when you get there.
I know my,
just fell out, fell down
my, chair keeps just going down, so.
But we're going up.
Yep, and but we're going up.
On this episode of the No Chill podcast, we check back with Gil after his Big 3 debut. Getting that first game behind you is a big step. As we find out, expectations were high, but it comes down to preparation and routine. From there, it's building consistency and getting used to the strategy. Also, with the barrage of free agency, we have to get into who's up and who's down after major movement. With the Warriors seeing major changes to the dynasty, the West is absolutely wide open, and for LeBron's Lakers, it's their throne to take. Over in the East, shakeups in Boston and Brooklyn give the Sixers, Bucks, and the defending champs some company. It's a No Chill podcast, and we have a lot to get into. Stay tuned all summer, wherever you may be. Remember to check us out early on the Himalaya app. Download wherever you get your podcast. And be sure to check out the No Chill channel on YouTube. Gil, we're back. You just got off the flight. A little jet lag.
Is that what that's?
Some people.
Is that what that's called, jet lag?
When you just feel it the next day?
No. That was called a Big 3 lag.
Mm-hmm.
Professional lag.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't played in 6 years lag. That's what that was.
Because here's what I know. You've played, but it is a whole different thing when you're in an arena, fans, TV, the lights of the arena, and the full-time contact.
No.
It's just different from being in the gym scrimmaging. You can't replicate that. You just have to do it.
Like, no, the professional part is the stuff that got me. Yeah, I play full court. I play in leagues.
That's what people don't see.
What?
That you're doing that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So they think like, oh, you just got off the couch.
Because I said it, that's why.
Yeah.
No, but I play in leagues and play full court. But, you know, the 3-on-3 was a little different.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I trained, I didn't train for the details of what 3-on-3 was. It was just the weird part of continuous running. Like, even though it's half court, it's not the same as full court. Like, full court, if I shoot a shot, I jog back on defense. The offense is, you know, walking the ball or slightly jogging the ball up the court. So, you know, you get, you know, time to rest. You know, there's really rare moments where it's going to be a 10 up and downs, you know, in a full court basketball game. You know, there's foul, out of bounds. You got, you know, but in half court, 2 minutes into the game, I'm exhausted. Because I realized that, you know, I came down, played defense, had to go get the rebound, had to clear the ball, shoot a three, then chase my guy to where he's going, play defense, pick and roll, he shoots, rebound again, clear the ball out. You know, 3 minutes into the game, I'm like, I need a sub. What is this? You know, and realize I actually haven't gotten the time to pause for any rest. You know, so, you know, I was just exhausted. You know, I played, I think, a total of 8 minutes, you know.
Really?
Yeah. It was really.
Well, it's because there really is no clock. So it's not like you're logging 48 or you're keeping track of that. But I did notice a couple of things you said, but I did notice that there's just so much that goes into that day that by the time you get to court, like I said, that adrenaline burns off. So then you're like, I'm exhausted. I know you're conditioned to it, mm-hmm. but like you hit that wall to where you got to go sit down and build up again.
Yeah, because you don't have a rest. You don't have, I hit a shot, I jog back on defense and then wait for the offensive player to come, where you have 10, 13 seconds of rest before he, you know, before he puts you into any active mode. And for the most part, you're on the weak side, resting. You know, ball goes out about, you're resting. Then if they score, you walk the ball, wait for a play. I mean, so you have time to actually catch your breath. In a 3-on-3, there was no time to catch your breath. You know, and then if they do score, the guard, which is me, have to run up all the way up at the top of the key to go take the ball out. So it's constant motion.
Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, you don't have the transition, so there isn't that full court blitz, but you still have shot goes up, I got to locate my man, you know, or if I shoot it, and shit, he runs to the other side of the floor.
You have to go chase him.
Yeah, go find him, right.
You know, so that's what I said. So it's basically like doing a bunch of line drills instantly. Mm-hmm.
And I noticed you guys pretty much switched on everything.
Yeah.
So and then instead of going over screens, you're down in the blocks with
the big man.
They have 300-pounder.
Yeah, and I mean, but with the big man, they don't really move anywhere. So they can play a whole game because they're sitting there, you know, in the paint. They score. They sit there because the defense now switches to offense, and he ain't going anywhere. Just sit, you know. So the big man.
They're going from the block basically to the high post.
You know, so it's the guard that has to clear it because mm-hmm. the big man is passing it to the guard to clear it. So the guard's got to clear it, and they got to go run, take the ball out of bounds, you know. So, you know, you really have to really train, you know, details for that particular game. So it's a little different.
I would even say this, the adrenaline thing, right? When you see a team, I was thinking of when LeBron's first game with the Lakers. Remember all the hype around there? It was a preseason game. I don't remember where they were, but it was, I think it was Vegas maybe mm-hmm. or something like that. And that's where you get that rush of like the first time you're on the floor and different attention. Yeah, well, opening night too.
It's no,
just like, you know.
That's
you,
jitters.
But you, yeah, that's, but that's the jitters won't be there next week.
But it's a jitter, and jitters is not the same as being exhausted from.
But that will wear you out or wear you down to a degree.
No, jitters is what gets you overhyped for a game. Like, you know, like your shots off, you're overdoing mm-hmm. plays. That's where jitters come in at. Where, you know, you're sitting there airballing because you're so nervous. You know, that's mm-hmm. you're fouling for no reason. You know,
how do you avoid that?
The jitters, just being seasoned. You know, just being a seasoned player, just understanding, being through, you know, that situation before.
But have you seen guys, because I feel like there are a ton of guys that just, they're constantly nervous. And they have all the ability in the world, but they get tight.
Yeah, I mean, that happens to a lot of people. Mm. You know, right now, you know, Frank, you know, first game, he was nervous. Mm. He's played professional 15 years. But, you know, it's something new. Mm. It's something different. You know, different atmosphere, you know, makes a person nervous. The ideal of not succeeding, you know, gets you the jitters. You know, just being over anxious gets you the jitters, you know.
But you know you can do it, so it's where you have to, like, pick one thing. Like, focus, I can do this. I know I can do this, no problem. And then everything else kind of falls into place.
Yeah, I mean, I remember my first All-Star. I was out there shaking, you know, and it's like, I don't know what I'm shaking for.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same fucking, it's the same fucking guys, but, you know, you just... It's just a new atmosphere. It's just something new.
You know, and that's what I mean. It's mental because you don't even see that coming.
No.
You're like, yeah, what the hell, man? I've done this a thousand times.
It's just like meeting a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You done had 30 of them, but it's the new one that just gets you all jittery. You know, it happens.
First time. Well, yeah. And the other thing I did notice being in the locker room, though, and this is something that people don't see, is how it really, the switch did flip, that you guys were very intense and locked in to a point where I was like, shit. And it's a smaller locker room, you know, mm-hmm. so it's like this is being, you know, in the dressing room before a fight.
Yeah, I mean, a professional is going to be a professional. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're going to always, You know, some players like to stay loose, you know, before games. You know, some players are intense, you know. We got some screamers, you know, sitting there trying to hype themselves up, you know, sitting, you know, gushing down, you know, a bunch of Red Bulls and whatever, you know, drink that can get them going. But, you know.
This group wasn't like that. I would say actually Lamar, because he was, you know, in the different role of, you know, supporting everybody. He was more loose. But everybody else locked
in. Yeah, I usually just tune everybody out. I don't really pay attention to
people. Yeah, that's one thing I noticed about you. You weren't. You had the headphones on.
Yeah, I just tune. Yeah. I just tune everything out.
Yeah, you know? You weren't part of the conversation at all.
No.
Yeah, and then you went into the back room when you were stretching and just working on ball handling.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Man, the same thing with the game. You know, someone asked me, "Yo, was it crowded?" I have no idea.
It was. Yeah.
I don't know. I zone out. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't. So I don't hear outside noise. You know, it's just whatever's going on in that court.
But I was gonna say this too is it had to be different because you are on the half court, but it's really say 2/3. Because the free throw line, because the way the court was set up is the big three places it, the free throw line was underneath the scoreboard where basically half court was. Mm-hmm. So you're in a different part of the gym, which is also an adjustment because we saw the glare of the lights where you're, it messes with your depth perception.
But I said, you know, it's.
Those are the little things that you have to adjust to.
But I didn't see a glare during the game.
Mm, okay.
You know, so. You know,
that's cool.
That's what I said. Once the game starts, everything that's outside, I don't pay attention to. Like, I can zone it all out. That's just an ability I have that, you know, it's, you know, if there's a fight break out or someone's yelling my name, I really don't, I don't hear it. I don't, I don't see it. You know, I just, I'm locked in onto whatever's going on the floor.
In your own headspace, your own zone. And the other thing people didn't see was, so the way it works with the big three, there's a practice the night before, which is really a walkthrough. You have a half an hour every, you know, six teams. So every team gets a half an hour. So that's in the span of 3 hours. There's six practices on the half court in the arena. So it's 30 minutes to get through your sets, not really get shots up. So we were there Friday night and you said, hey, I got to get my shots up. And they said, well, we closed the gym. You know, they get it for that 3 hours. Literally, the lights go off. They were going off towards the end of the walkthrough because you guys had the last session. And you said, hey, I got to get in here tomorrow then. So you hit me. It was whatever, like 8 in the morning, and we went over there. Nobody else was in there. CBS was setting up the cameras. And that's something that people don't see is that you were in the gym for an hour going through your routine, getting up 300 shots. And that's important. Right.
I mean, if you're a shooter, I mean, you got to get your daily shots up. You know, it's part of your routine. You know, routine is what keeps you consistent. You know, so once I realized, well, if I don't play in the first game, which we had at first, and then they switched us to the second game. Well, the first game, if you have to be at the gym 2 hours early, that means you get there at 10 o'clock. That means you have the arena all to yourself for 2 hours before your game starts so you can get your shots in. Well, game two and three, you don't have no time. It's basically the game is going on, you sit in the back, as soon as they're off, they're calling your name, you have a minute and to get shots, and then they're calling the other team's name, then you guys shoot for 2 minutes and then boom, it's game time. So, you know, game two and three, you know, you're only getting, you know, maybe 20 shots, if that, before, you know, you're about to play. So you don't really get a good warm-up.
You don't get any warm-up, really.
You know, so it's, you know, it's just, you know, adjusting, trying to find, you know, how to be, you know, great in that atmosphere.
But I was asking mainly for you, though. You needed that. You wouldn't really take the court until you got 300 shots up.
Ever. No, I mean, I would play if I didn't have 300 shots up, but I have to get my shots up.
Right.
It's a routine. I'm not going to go into, you know, something without, you know, it's preparation. That's you know what this game is about. So I realized I had the second game. The first two teams got to be there by 10, so I get there at 8:30 before those two teams take over the floor to get my shots up.
But that's what I was surprised that there weren't other players there at that time, which you wouldn't want other players to be there.
I mean, that's not surprised because whenever I worked out, there was never no one there. you know.
I think you said even there were times you had full court, so there was the other hoop. So even if somebody came in, like say Deshaun came in, you know.
But what I'm saying is I design it,
yeah,
my workout, so no one's there. You know, so you know, all it takes is one time. I realize, okay, first bus is this person, second bus is this group. All right, before the first bus gets here, I take a cab and get there. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what I said. In my whole NBA career, the players I seen in the arena around the same time I was Kobe. I seen Ray Allen a couple times. Yeah.
Not many.
And yeah, not many. That's what I said. So because I design it. But you know, you got to remember, if I'm on a road, that means that home team is home. They usually have a practice facility mm-hmm. that they're probably or a practice court that they're probably getting shots on. So, you know, they could be there, you know, practicing. But I usually try to come before anyone is there.
Well, and that's what we found out, that I think the big three, their personnel, they were surprised because nobody else had done that before.
Yeah.
But I also knew that, you know, players are guys like Kobe or Ray or whoever are used to getting shots up on a game day.
Yeah, you got to get shots up. You know, I mean, you just got to, you know, carve out your window of time to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and especially.
To do what you do.
How can you take the court? Like you said, I think warm up was maybe 12 minutes before the game.
12 minutes?
I don't know.
No. That's what I said. We got called. We was out there for like a minute, minute and a half, and then they had to call the other side.
Yeah, when you guys came out of the tunnel, we'll check for it next week. But I'm sure there's a clock, like, you know, before you
play. No, what I'm saying is a minute, minute and a half, and then restart, and then we sit mm-hmm. down, and then they call the other group, mm-hmm. minute, minute and a half, and then as a group, we maybe 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's 12 minutes before each game. Mm-hmm. You know, so that team got to get off from celebrating and all that mm-hmm. stuff and then get off. So once that game ends, it's 12 minutes before the next game tip off. So mm-hmm. how fast you can get that group off before you get mm-hmm. the next group off.
Oh. Yeah, and you got to expect teams need to come out and get some shots up, get loose. You know, yeah. You don't just come right out and get into
but,
it.
But, I mean, that's what I said.
Pretty much you do, but yeah.
I mean, that's just something they got to figure out, you know, how to get the other two team shots. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're not, you know, coming out of the gate bricking and, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of coming out of the gate, so for people that saw, you came right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first shot up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my 8 minutes, you know, 13 points. That's what I said. By the time I got my first shot, second shot, my third shot, I was already winded. You know, by the time that came around, fourth shot was winded. What I was happy I didn't do was try to shoot my way through being tired and mm-hmm. just chuck up shots, mm-hmm. you know. Even though we was down, as much as I said, you know what, I'm just going to just will us back. My tired shots is like, you know, some, you know, a guy is already fresh. Let me just go ahead and let him, mm-hmm. you know, do what he do. And, you know, let me just get my win. This is the first game, you know, and I can sit here and try to find out how to, you know, reserve energy.
And that first shot that you took is actually, I noticed that that's kind of a big three. It's going to be a big three shot because you get a long rebound. What you did is you took it and got right to the corner. No defender gets to you for some reason. They didn't get to you in time. And I think Frank had two looks like that. Mm-hmm. I want to say Perry also. So long rebound, just get right to the corner.
Yeah, I mean, on the rebound, I mean, especially depending on where they rebound. I mean, but, you know, I guess – you know, dribbling to the side is a lot faster than trying to dribble it up to the top of the key because that's usually where
usually
there's more defenders.
Yeah, usually what you do, too. So clear it, you know, clear above free throw line, above mm-hmm. three-point line. So, but yeah, corner still counts. Yeah. So get to the corner because for whatever reason, like I said, I think, say what you were talking about, say a shot goes up from one wing, it's mm-hmm. your man, you chase the rebound down, and the big is probably still on his guy, and he's not going to leave or chase you, so...
I mean, you just got to figure out because also if that man didn't, your defender didn't come and chase you and you shoot it and miss, you got to go.
Then he's going to get it, yeah.
Then you got to run all the way back over the other side
so
and get
miss.
Him.
Don't miss.
You know, so, I mean, it's part of the game. You just got to figure it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So how about taking contact again? You knew what you were expecting. It was going to be physical.
I'm a physical player. I felt bad, actually, mm-hmm. because what I thought was happening wasn't happening, you know, because I'm, you know, watching how Mike Bibby playing these guys, and they're so, like, consistently trying to hit the person that's driving instead of actually playing defense. So every time I took a man off the dribble, which was Quintel Woods, I'm waiting for his hit so I can, you know, so I can give him back my my hit, my energy. So what ended up happening is he didn't hit me, and I'm hitting him, and I hit him in the mouth three times. I end up hitting him in the mouth three times, and I'm like, dog, my bad. Like, he's like, don't even worry about it, bro. Don't even worry about it. I'm not like one of these guys. Yeah. You know, you don't got
to. Funny, he didn't get back at you.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm not one of these guys. you can don't worry about it. I don't take offensive to it. You know, and I'm like, and it happened two other times, and I'm like, shit, my. I was like, I've watched too much tape, and I just. I'm just trying to, you know, like use
you're
your
ready,
energy.
You're ready for Jason Maxfield.
Yeah, I'm just ready for the energy to try to bump me off my position where I can hit you back. And the fact that you're just actually playing regular defense and not the whole hand checking and all that, I'm just reacting, and I just keep hitting them. And I was just so like, damn, my fault, dude. He's like, don't even worry about it.
But you're right. You said it was more physical, and I think.
Now, what's so funny? The physical is. Big to big and guard to big. Mm. You know, when the big is trying to post up and the guard is trying to show that he's just as strong. And, you know, I feel that the bigs are getting more hammered by the guards than anything else. You know, and I think that's where the physical play comes in or, you know, when a guard is driving and a big man wants to try to keep him from scoring, but other than that, it wasn't as aggressive as you would think.
Yeah, I think I noticed too. There were less hard traps because guys were respecting the three, so you really don't have much time to leave your man and help.
Yeah, I mean, especially with our team, we that's why I said their big guy was getting hammered by us more than he was fouling anybody else. So it's like. He's a skilled big, and I always said this, skilled players play with skill. You know, it's those 90s players that didn't have skill that fouls everyone.
Since everybody's what?
Huh? Since everybody's all, '90s, like it's not the Jordans, the Dumars, the Gary Paytons, the Pippins. Those are not the guys that give you hard fouls. Those are not the guys that play dirty. It's the guys that don't play. The guys that's only there.
That don't have finesse.
Finesse. And they're just a brute on you. You know, when you say, I remember someone said, Dennis Rodman was shutting down Shaq. Well, yeah, because Shaq is skilled. So he's not going to try to bruise through him. He's going to try to spin and do his little moves. He's not going to use his strength because that's not what skilled players do. Skilled players is trying to use what they were taught. You know, so, same thing in the big three. If you're skilled, you're not trying to foul anyone because that's not how you ever played. You're trying to be finesse. You're trying to, show that you're skillful. It's the guys who never had skill that's sitting there trying to beat up on other players. You know, for the most part, everyone on that court was skilled players.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you were talking about big. I think Amari looked really good too, from what you've seen in the two games this year too.
Yeah. You know, that's why you got ISO Joe out there looking great. Yes, you know, that's what I said. The skill. It's the skill players that you try to use skilled. I'm not gonna sit there like, even though Joe, if you look at him, everyone who's guarding him, he's bigger and stronger than.
Hell yeah.
So if he wanted to play, back him down basketball, and I'm just gonna try to push you through the rim. He can do it, but that's not how he ever played the game. So he's going to still do his fadeaways and his upper unders, because that's what he was taught. You know, it's the guys who don't have the skill anymore that are just going to sit there and try to use brute strength to try to get through you,
But we're also seeing with the age difference, the younger guys that can be – I'm thinking of Mike Taylor and Will Bynum. You know, they like you said, the guard play isn't as physical, so they go ISO.
Yeah, you go ISO, and I'm gonna use moves. And that's why I said, everyone's perception of what rules used to be is not reality. You know, like the rules of the '90s that I can hand check you. Well, yeah, you can hand check me if I'm not a scorer, if I'm not a driver. Yeah, if I'm sitting there with my back turned to you, if I'm, playing a game. like I'm Mark Jackson and I'm backing you all the way down, and that's what, you know, that's how Mark played the game. If I'm backing, yeah, your hand check is effective then because you can try to control me to a side. But if I'm facing forward, driving, coming at you, attacking, you have no, your hand check is meaningless. So like, if you see, there's a hand checking rule in the Big Three also, but you see, if Bynum, if everyone's moving forward at the rim, there's, you can't hand check them.
Right, right.
You know, you can't hand check. You know, I mean, you can, the only thing that, the only thing that helps with the hand check when someone's moving is I'm holding onto your, the side of you, and I can just push you into a defender. Mm-hmm. That's where the hand check is, you know, valuable, that because I can't keep up with you, but as long as I can hold on to you, I can just, if Shaq is down there and I'm Kobe, I can push you right into Shaq, and, mm-hmm. you know, and he just stands right there. You know, that's where the hand check is a, you know, was valuable. But once someone's moving, like the guards mid-95s, you know, AI and all these guys, they came in and they're, now you got the scoring guard. Well, the hand check doesn't work on the scoring guard. You know, it works on a guard who's trying to, you know,
even more if they initiate offense top of the key and they're with their back to the defender.
Yeah, I can hand you, like, right. you know, in today's
they're
game.
They're looking to just, like, distribute.
Like, in today's game, if a hand check was going to work on someone, it'd be on a player like a Rubio, you know. And that's slim because he's still trying to get into the lane and pass the ball. But a guy like that who's trying to set up offense, he's trying to get players in spots. And, you know, if you're sitting in one spot trying to get a player in a spot, yeah, you know, me sitting there holding – you know, holding, hand checking you, you know, yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, any guard, but, you know, now all weapons are allowed in this game. So everyone's a weapon now.
Right.
You know, it's, so the hand check is really non and void. It's meaningless.
Mm-hmm. Right. Guys are too fast to eat.
Yeah, that's either what I'm saying. You know, it's like, that's what I said. This, it's the theory that, you know, like when I mentioned the 90, was it Jordan and Pippen, you know, in the way they played, or Pippen and Rodman, the way they played defense, and will the Bulls shut down Golden State? You know, I never really gave an answer on who will win, but at the end of the day, they have to remember, if you take everybody as is, you can't give them, you can't say, oh, he works out with you guys for 3 months and he adapts to that. No, you can't add a new engine to the car. It's as is. Well, as is, we have conditioning coaches and strength coaches and weight rooms and all this stuff now, better technology. So, yeah, we're bigger, faster, stronger than this group. So, by nature, we are more dominant physically than this group. Well, when you add everything else, well, now the point guard is also trying to score like Jordan. So you have the point trying to score like Jordan, the two trying to score like Jordan, the three trying to score like Jordan. So, in reality, all five positions, besides now kind of the five man, are weapons. Back then, the point guard was a point guard. The shooting guard was a shooting guard. Three man was a utility guy. The four man was a brute guy. The five man was the scorer. So you had the two and the five as your dominant scorers. Everybody else was utility guys. Well, now it's four guys trying to score, no utility.
We're saying it's positionless.
Positionless is not the right word, because positionless mean everyone can play every position, which is not true.
Maybe not every, but I think you look for guys that play multiples.
That's still not true.
Well, I'm saying you're not taking Embiid and making him a one.
Yes, you're not making him a two or a three.
Right.
Okay, so it's not positionless. It's.
But you're not just having him live in the post.
That's just the position he plays. Mm-hmm. Positionless came from someone like Greek the Freak, someone like LeBron, that they're small forward or power forward, and they can dribble the ball like a guard. Mm-hmm. Pippen did that. Mm-hmm. Tony Kukoc did that. You know, so you had those guys. They just had them. They called them point forwards back then.
Right.
That's all. You got to remember, if you're a 1-2-3, you're supposed to know how to dribble and start the offense. Well, when the four starts the offense, now we're saying, oh, man, the fours can dribble the ball. Oh, my God, this is positional basketball. No, shut up. It's not. It's the point forward. Now you have somebody like Jokic who can play two. He can't even play 1-2-3. He just plays 4-5. He's Chris Webber. He's a four-man, five-man. They can run an offense through him. Like, Chris Webber led Sacramento in assists. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Bibby. It was Chris Webber. So it's not positionless. It's one position that's that's moving down. It's the, you know, it's the Greek the Freaks, it's the Ben Simmons, it's these guys who's power forwards playing or starting the offense as point guards. That's all. You know, it's not a 6'6 guy playing power forward trying to post up 6'10. No, that's not how this, that's not, it's not. We're not saying, come on, Curry, play the center today. Go in, you know, go in and post up Anthony Davis because you got so many moves down there. No, that's not what's happening here.
Yeah, you still would never.
That's
never
what I'm saying.
This, it's, look, basketball is also a game of mismatches. You would never put a 6'2 guy on a 6'11 guy.
That's what I'm saying. It's not positional.
Well, when you do, just, you have a mismatch.
Just when once one person says something stupid, but he makes it make sense, everyone decides to jump on the stupid bandwagon.
Yeah, it's a sexy word.
Yeah, you know, it's yeah, a, so it, oh my God, cool. you know, Zion's coming to the league, it's positionless basketball, he can play anywhere. No, he can't. He can't play the center, he can't play the point. So that's, he can't play the shooting guard. So if he can't play the shooting guard, he can't play the point, he can't play the five, man. It's not positionless. No.
I remember even when Shaq would bring the ball up, it would always be a joke by the announcer. Like, here comes point guard Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah. And like, I'm sure he can handle, but you're not going
to
have him.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You know, we had the Magic Johnsons. We had these guys that, you know, started the offense at a different position.
But like, those guys are more rare.
They're rarities.
They're the unicorns.
That's what I said. We're taking unicorns and we're making it seem like it's everyone. No, it's unicorns of a league. Like, you know, Jordan was a unicorn. Like, someone asked me, then what positions in the 90s can play in today's? I said, the unicorns can. Magic Johnson, 6'9 point guard. That's what Ben Simmons is. Penny Hardaway, 6'7 point guard with bounce. That's still not in today's game. Mm-hmm. You have Tony Kukoc, 6'11 three-man that can put the ball on the floor. That's what Kevin Durant is and Turkoglu was. That's what that – those are the unicorns.
And even you're talking about eras, you know, Jordan, 6'6 with a
46 inch vertical.
That's still useful today.
No, that's still the highest.
Yeah, the highest. Yeah, that's what I mean.
In the league.
You so know? We talk about, and this is when Lou was here, we talk about athletes evolving. And there were certain guys that are ahead of that evolution curve. And MJ, of course, really, like, still no one is.
Yeah, still no one.
There's guys that have, like Vince has, or Iggy, even there, you know. Crazy athleticism.
Yeah, but, you know, Jordan's number one. Second in running vert is Zach LaVine, number two, 6'6". Like, I mean, so the shooting guard from when Jordan played has actually not changed. The positions that's gotten bigger is the one, the three, the four. The five has lost its skill in being dominant big man.
Skill from post-play?
Post-play. Mm-hmm. So the 90s five men all dominate this era. The 90s four men, the beginning of the 90s four men, are non-existing because back then it was the brute guy. It was the guy that I'm going to give you the hard foul. You know, I'm that, you know.
Xavier McDaniel.
The enforcer, the 6'4", the 6'7", enforcer. Well, if anyone ever noticed history, around 95, before 95, they were scoring 110 points a game, each team. We just beat that this year with 111. So in the 70s, 80s, and before 95, they were scoring 109, 110 points each team. Well, around 95 came in is when all the guys, this is where history, people need to know their history before they just yell out shit. Everyone was scared. You got to remember, the high school kids was coming in, the college guys. Well, back then, all the big dominant fives were still at a high level. The Dreams, the Patrick Ewings, the Shaquille O'Neals, the Alonzo Mournings, they were still in the league. Well, these skinny fives like Kevin Garnett and all of them did not want to face them. So what they did, all the 93, 94, all those guys decided they were going to drop to the four-man because the four-man at that time couldn't guard them. They were guards. They were 6'4 both ways, basically. They were just enforcers. So now all these guys like Dirt are towering over this 6'6", 6'4 guy, 6'5", 6'7", you know, post, you know, power forward. So it was easy. It was an easier game for them.
Or if you had a bigger body, like a Dale Davis, you just turn and face.
Yeah, but you know what I'm, you're just turning and facing over these guys and just shooting easy shots over this small guy. So what ends up happening is these longer Kevin Garnett's, these
Dirk Duncan,
all these guys start weeding out this guy. And the scoring went down because now when a guard drives, you have 2 7-footers back there now instead of the center being 7 foot and then the power forward being 6'7". Mm-hmm. See, if I'm 6'6 and I'm running and jumping, you being 6'7 is meaningless. Like, you're not contesting my shot. I don't see you down there. So now with 2 7-footers in the back, it became harder to score a little bit. So the basketball scoring went down really bad from 95 to 2008. So the scoring went down from 95 to 2008 because everyone got longer. And that's what evolved the game, that it got longer. So, you know, guys saying, hey, man, you know, I can play in today's game, but you're 6'7". And you were a power forward. You were a brute guy. You were a guy who beat people up with brute strength. You held Shaq down. Well, if you got a guard, Draymond Green, even Draymond Green, who's not a scorer, how do you guard him? What are you going to do? He doesn't post up. So your strength means nothing. What he's doing is pick-popping and driving. Pick-pop, driving, pass. Pick-pop, driving, like...
Because now there's so much more space. Too, yeah, there's also not, because the not, team not,
yeah, but it's that's my motion. I'm picking. You have the hard show. So Dennis Rodman, for the most part, you would be sitting on guards in this era. Kyrie's, that's who you're guarding.
Robinson, he wasn't a perimeter defender. He was a
post defender. He was a post up defender. Like, you know, you're posting up. Like, so you're sticking the Klay Thompsons. You're sticking the, you know, Kyrie's, the John Walls, that's your guy, because when they do a pick and roll, you're switching.
He'd really, you know, have to be like Draymond.
But that's what I'm saying. Even with Draymond is still outmatched. And he weighs 40, 50 pounds more than, you know, the guys. That's what I'm saying. It's more of what your tool was back then. That's what I said. From the Bulls, if we take the same positions and we translate the same positions, you can't change. We translate how you play the game and switch them to here. You have Jordan transfers, Kukoc transfers. Luke Longley now is fucking prominent here.
Good for him.
Ron Harper, 6'6", point guard. You're mm-hmm. fucking valuable now. Because
mm-hmm. I mean, he was valuable then.
But, you know, he was a 20-point scorer who went to the Bulls and became a utility guy.
Yeah, he was older at that point. You know, I think he had lost his burst.
Not really. He had Jordan.
Yeah, but him and when he's a Clipper, when he was a Cavalier. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. But he was
way more balanced.
But you got to remember, he averaged 20. The next year, he averaged nothing with the Bulls because, you know, you have a Bulls team.
Yeah.
Pippen at the
Pippen
three.
Transfers.
I mean, Pippen at the three transfers, but... He's a small three. He's a really small three. I mean, not to be funny, he is the smallest three in today's era because he's 6'7", 210. Everyone else as a three man is way bigger than that. The 6'7", 210 guy is Klay Thompson. That's Klay.
I'm thinking Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum is 6'8".
1 inch.
6'8" in that. But that's still...
220.
But 220, 6'8", 220. You...
Okay.
You're still bigger.
Okay.
But
you're saying like KD.
Since 97, natural, a guy who is actually 6'7", not Google 6'7", actually physically 6'7", no one's under 6'7", has made an all-star game since 97 playing the power forward position. As a power forward, no one under 6'7" and under, their real height, has not made an all-star game. I want to say I'm 99% sure no 6'7" small forward has made an all-star game also since 97.
Since 97?
Real, like Karan was 6'8". I don't know Josh. I can't remember Josh Howard's actual height. I know he's listed at 6'5". That's what I'm saying. That's not his real height. Like, he's not 6'5". Like KD's not 6'9". LeBron is not 6'8". You know, these guys are not as small as, you know, Google says.
But as far as threes goes, I'm actually thinking that you're keeping LeBron in mind.
What do you mean?
Since 97, that body type, you're saying, has evolved in LeBron is that the three.
No, what I'm saying is, but like you're thinking, we're talking about Pippen, who's 6'7", you know, Rodman, who's 6'7".
Yeah, here it says Josh Howard's 6'7".
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. He wasn't 6'7". He was bigger. He was bigger and longer. So what I'm saying, the actual height of the player, not what is listed on Google, the 6'7". Like as I said, I'm 90% sure a 6'7 small forward has not made an all-star since 97 either.
We'd have to dig in.
Well, I mean, search, but that's what I'm saying. Grant Hill, Grant Hill, because they have Grant Hill listed as 6'6", and I'm pretty sure he wasn't 6'8". I'm pretty sure Grant Hill wasn't 6'8". Like the Matrix, he's 6'8".
T-Mac.
T-Mac, fucking 6'8",
6'9". Yeah. T-Mac, KD, Kawhi, LeBron.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's been, like, I'm like just now thinking about it because Grant Hill was a three man, not a two. Like being six, like he was probably 6'6", 6'7". So he was probably the last player. But I mean, in the last 15 years, that position, Tayshaun Prince is 6'9". Yeah, he's not a small guy.
No, I was just seeing if he was an all-star.
Oh yeah, he was an all-star. Oh, I don't know.
At the three, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he was.
But he wasn't six. He was nowhere close to 6'7".
No, he was 6'9".
Yeah. But as I said, that position became so big and long. You know, so but that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, everyone's gotten bigger. You know, it's the one, the two, the shooting guard has been about the same. The three has evolved. The four has evolved. The five has devolved. You know, so. You know, so you can take any five man, you know.
Tayshaun never an all-star.
Yeah, you can take any five man from the 90s and drop them in this game and they'll still be very effective and be dominant, actually.
Like we said, it evolves. Yeah. And what we have now, been a lot of action lately. We're going to get to that. But before we do, we've got to take a break because, you know, here, Gil, we look good. We're on camera here. We have the No Chill YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Watch us. We look good. So for our fans that don't see too well, we got something for you.
They don't see too well?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got some contacts for you, with simple contacts. There are a million things demanding your time. Contact lenses should not be one of them. Simple contacts let you renew your prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. Your couch? Yes. The office? Yes. Yes, indeed. The doctor's office is now wherever you are. Simple Contacts vision test is self-guided and takes less than 5 minutes. That easy.
Put some contacts
simple,
in?
Yeah. To get tested.
Oh, to get just, tested. Just get oh, okay, tested. Okay.
See if you need them. Or if you need them to get more.
What I'm saying is if it takes you 5 minutes to put them in, you need contacts.
That just sounds painful. Think about how much time you save compared to making an appointment, getting the eye doctor, taking time off, all that stuff. It's designed by ophthalmologists and a licensed doctor reviews every test so you can skip the office visit, but not the care. Mm-hmm. The reviews speak for themselves. Simple Contacts has been rated 5 stars over 5,000 times on the App Store. You can text with the support team and always get to speak with a person. No automated robot systems here. Simple Contacts has all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, so you never have to shop around to find your lenses at the best price. The vision test is only $20. Compare that to an appointment, which without insurance can cost you up to $200. The contacts lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And best of all, they're offering a promotion to us for our listeners. So we got you. $20 off with the NoChill20 promo code. So that's $20 off. With the promo code NOCHILL20. Get $20 off your contacts on simplecontacts.com/NOCHILL20 or enter the code NOCHILL20 at checkout. Also, remember, this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. Go to simplecontacts.com today, get $20 off, and see better.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. So if it costs $20 mm-hmm. to get tested, and I get $20 off, is it free? Bam.
Bam. That's good math. That's good math. So we got you.
We got you.
Saving you money. All right. We also got to talk about something you can hear, like those speakers right there.
Oh, yeah.
Raycon. The Raycon Wireless. Because, Gil, it's 2019.
Raycon?
Mm-hmm. It's 2019, and everyone needs a great pair of wireless speakers. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless speakers from Raycon. Got them lit up right in your hand right there. So you can take these anywhere. You see the string on top. Mm-hmm. You put them in the locker room, gets hyped before the game.
I like this.
I know you saw you were in your zone.
Yeah.
Raycon speakers start at about half the price of other premium wireless speakers on the market, and they sound just as amazing. The company was actually co-founded by Ray J. Celebrities like Snoop, Cardi B, Brandy, your guy J.R. Smith, they're already obsessed. Raycon's wireless speakers have totally changed the game for us. They're so comfortable, so easy to use, you take them anywhere. Unlike some of the other wireless options, Raycon wireless speakers are both stylish, you see it right there, indiscreet, no dangling wires or stems. And of course, they don't just look great, they sound great too. So Raycon offers wireless earbuds and speakers for everyone in a range of fun colors and at an unbeatable price. Go to raycon.com/nochill. There it is, to get 20% off your order. That's raycon.com/nochill for 20% off Raycon wireless earbuds and speakers. If you've been eyeing a pair, now's the time to get an amazing deal. One more time, we got you. Buyraycon.com/nochill. Buyraycon.com/nochill.
When I said Raycon, I was like, is this Ray J shit right here? Yeah, my man Ray J is blowing up right now, man.
Now you know.
He's inventing all kind of stuff. This is nice. You know, I went to junior high with him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got kicked out. I got kicked out early, so, but yeah, he went to Madison.
Uh-huh.
Him and his sister Brandy.
Did you know then that he had star power?
No. Brandy had, that's when Brandy was coming out, you know, so, you know, I've known him for a long time. So, you know, just to see everything he's into is amazing.
He's ahead of the curve, too.
I know. Right? I mean, I like him.
Mm-hmm. They're yours.
Okay, my man.
All right.
Is this what interrupt? This was what was interrupting the show? Okay. I was like,
they connected to my phone. Oh, okay. So, you know, they work, too.
Yeah, yeah.
We were like, what was that? But yeah, they chime right in. Bluetooth. There you go.
Okay.
All right. So, Gil, Sunday, it was wild. It's funny. They used to have the deadline for free agencies at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So, people on the East Coast would either be asleep or stay up late, and they moved it up early. So everything happened in real time Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, the big domino, I think, was KD going to Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And then also Kyrie going there, too.
Yep.
They got DeAndre. I mean, that franchise turned around in an hour.
Not even that. They, you know what? Let's just be honest here. Free agent, you don't supposed to talk to a free agent until... Supposed to
mm-hmm.
until free agency. But have you noticed all the fucking deals was done before even free agency started? Like, oh yeah, Kevin Durant supposed to sign with Brooklyn. How the fuck do you suppose? How do you know? Like, but you know, obviously, you know.
But what if you're what if you're Phoenix and you're like, hey, we wanted to talk to you. Can we get a meeting?
But that's what I'm saying. It's like everyone's talking way before. I don't even know why they even have, you know, like a set date, because if most of the deals are done soon as free agency started, then that means they was already talking. So that means they were already in violation. So what is the point of even having one?
Is it a violation, though?
Because yeah, you're not allowed.
It's after the season.
But you're technically not allowed to talk to a free agent until until free agency.
The signing period is July 1st.
But that's when everyone is allowed to start talking.
I think they can talk to you before that. It's after the season's over.
I don't think so. I remember when I was a free agent, it was basically
summertime.
No, yeah. As soon as July 1st started, boom, we can talk.
That's what I thought, but I'm saying I think it changed And they're saying it's July 1st. So guys that know.
July 1st.
You know what? That helps teams because now they know. At least you know on the first thought. We don't have to wait for this guy.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like I think everyone's now, the agents are trying to poke it around and start talking and getting deal done way before the free agency market hits.
I guess the max and the super max change that too because, you know, if my team wants me, you give me a max deal, give me the super max, I don't have to look anywhere.
Like I remember when I had my meeting with Washington, it was at 12:01.
At night?
July 1st.
At night?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was 12:01. Soon as 12 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as like
I'm, you could sign though.
What I'm saying is I'm there at 11:59, sitting there waiting, and then as soon as midnight hit, okay, what are we talking about?
Also, they should have it written down. So, like, what you got? Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean they did that. Yeah. I mean we They tried. It was a negotiation.
Uh huh.
And then Golden State came in, and then I went out of the country, and then came back in.
But you made your mind up before you left?
No.
Because I would say that's the other thing to
do. No, I didn't make my mind up before I left.
Okay, because I would say that go somewhere, think about it, sleep on it.
Yeah, that's what I did. You know. But that's what I'm saying.
But it looks like now guys have their mind made up.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like all the deals are done way before free agency hits.
But they pretty much, when I say all the guys, let's say the top 10 or however many are on the table that year, because there's a lot of other guys that are really actually key pieces, but those
The main guys, the max guys have their deals already done for the most part.
Right. But I think even in the case of KD, he knew what he wanted to do.
Yeah. Seems like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like it because if the rumor's right that Steph was already on his way on a plane to Brooklyn to meet with him, to talk to him, and he didn't get there in time. It's like, well, a free agency just started today and I'm here. How is your deal already done?
Kyrie got to him first.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm pretty sure he already knew where he was going. You know?
Yeah, and I think unless you're going to get offered more money, if you want to go to that team, you're going to go to that team.
But I'm saying, you already know what they can offer.
Something like Kemba. They didn't pay him enough in Charlotte.
No, okay, so somebody like Kemba, I mean.
They didn't offer him the Supermax.
So that's what I'm saying is somebody like Kemba didn't have his, he didn't go into free agency saying he wanted to leave. That's not how his mindset was, because you got to remember where he's at now, right? Boston. Well, Kyrie had to leave first before that spot even opened up. Before that spot even opened up, Jordan had to not offer him what he think he was worth for him to be displeased with it to look elsewhere. So in that whole little time frame of, I don't even know, Mom.
It's like 3 days.
Not even 3 days. No, it wasn't even 3 days because today's the second?
No, but I'm pretty sure it was like Thursday when
Friday's
the Rockets, the Hornets offer. That's when I heard.
Yeah, that's what I said. I heard Thursday. Yeah. So that's the 29th, the 28th.
Right, and he signed it on Sunday.
Yeah, so the 28th.
That was the 30th.
No, what I'm saying is the 28th, you know, there was already a deal on a table for him on the 28th that was already, we're hearing about that, it was disrespectful then, before free agency started. So, you know, all these pieces had to move, and, you know, that's how.
You know what that eliminates soon, I think, in that situation? Maybe they thought, we'll put this lower offer out there, he's going to get something else, and then if it beats ours, then we can
come. Because think about it, I mean, Kemba's a New York guy, right?
Yeah, you would have thought Brooklyn.
No.
Or the Knicks.
No, you'd have thought the Knicks. You'd have said, you know.
We're saying now Brooklyn is the new.
No, but Brooklyn is the new team that's on fire. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you're from New York City. If he planned to go somewhere, if he knew that New York wasn't going to sign anybody, boom, he could have landed right back home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I said. You know, for a guy like him, you know, he's just trying to be, you know, he's trying, like, okay, the Celtics want me? Okay, cool. Thank you. And I think that's how that deal went.
But I also think other teams wanted him. Back to your point about free agency, like he should have. You would think he would take meetings with the Clippers Lakers or somebody like that.
I don't even think he even wanted to be that guy that's sitting there lingering around and get screwed. I mean, you know, there's free agency. There's always someone who's holding out, and there's always a few guys that just get screwed. Like right now, it seems like Cousins is going to get screwed again. You know, you got those guys who just sit there and free agency, they get screwed every year.
Well, in his situation, I think if he were healthier, that would have helped. So everyone,
yeah, but
I think people will come in later.
But at the end of the day, he's not injured
in the game.
So
he's not. But he's, I mean, since coming he's off not the injured, Achilles he has and then the whole injury he had in the finals. It wasn't like everyone's going to jump at his door. But I think they'll come around when everything else settles.
I mean, he has all summer to rehab. I mean, not to rehab, to just get better, to get, you know, to.
That's why I think he'll be a great deal. If DeAndre got 4 for 40.
Well, no one's going to give him 4 for 40, though. No one's going to. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think he'd want 4 for 40.
They're going to make him play one more year again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so. I mean, there's still a lot of money out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Lakers with money. You have Toronto with money. You have Knicks with, you know, Clippers. Fucking with Fort Knox over there. You have, you know, the Clippers with money. But there's no real.
Knicks got a lot of guys. They didn't get that one guy.
They got a lot of guys of what kind of caliber?
Just guys.
Yeah. The same shit they do every year.
The guys.
Just get a whole bunch of guys.
I don't know. They came 5-6 deep, not just one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what the Knicks always did, though. They pick a whole bunch of guys that'll come in there, waste their whole salary cap on a whole bunch of guys, none star power. Mm. You know.
But there, and that was the other thing for KD and what you were saying about Kemba, was they gave him a low offer because they were reportedly afraid of the injury, so they didn't want to give him a
see, and this is why and this is why education in basketball would have helped you not make that stupid decision.
Education in basketball, you know who their owner is, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So education in basketball.
Yeah.
People around you that know actual basketball.
Yeah, so like he stayed back in school. He's that kid that won't graduate basketball education.
Okay. So you need to put people around you that know basketball. So if
so they you knew, would never lowball Kevin Durant.
No, if you knew basketball, then you knew that Kevin Durant Achilles was on his right leg, which is if it's his right leg, it's not his jumping leg. Like everybody else in history, Kobe, Cousins, everyone else was their jumping leg. It was their left leg. So when they went up to explode, there was no explosion there because of the Achilles tear. Well, the fact that this is his right Achilles, not his left. So when he comes down the lane and he decides to jump, it's still Kevin Durant. So he doesn't lose his jumping ability or his athleticism. So if you had someone in your ear that knew that, that studied basketball, not these fucking pricks on TV that's telling you, oh my God, Kevin Durant is done because of his Achilles, and look at all the people with their Achilles, and look what happened to their career. Yeah, it was their jumping leg, idiot.
Guys don't know athletics though.
Yeah, it's like any shooter breaking their off arm, and someone said, oh my God, he's not gonna be able to shoot anymore. What? It's my off arm. I didn't shoot with that fucking arm anyway. Fucking dummy. But that's, you know, that was the equivalent to this one, that it wasn't his jumping leg. So you didn't have to worry about, is he going to be the same? Mm-hmm. You know, so that was a dumb move. And it was a dumb move because your personnel of who makes these decisions is not that smart.
My only thing for him, and I think you definitely, it's worth the wait, is that year that you don't get him.
Yeah. I mean, you have to wait a year for him. You have to wait a year for Clay. Everyone knew that going in.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about Golden State is, so what you have next, you got Clay back, cool. You would absolutely say they're going to do that. But you have Steph, and it's going to really be relying on him. I'm not sure that D'Angelo is going to stay there. That was a great move to get him, but the word is that it's going to be a trade piece.
Yeah.
Because then I don't see if you had Clay or if you keep him, you know, so next year, 2020. So you got D'Angelo at the one, Steph at the two, Clay at the three?
To be honest.
And then you don't have Iggy there.
The way Steph scores, the way he heats up, it has to be the other way around. It has to be Steph at the point, D'Angelo at the two. Because if D'Angelo is bringing up the ball all the time, then Steph don't have those moments where he's on fire and he's quick shooting. You know, what makes him great? He doesn't have that ability. You take it away from him. Mm. So you have to put D'Angelo at the two. And then he's, you know, you let Steph do what he does. And then when he doesn't have that shot, give it to D'Angelo and let D'Angelo do what he does. Trade piece for who? I don't.
I mean it's all rumors. The rumors.
No, what I'm saying is, I hear the rumors. And I ask the question, for who? Mm-hmm. Who's?
Well, if the rumor is Minnesota, then it would be if they want to make it D'Angelo and Karl-Anthony Towns, and I guess you. Who are you going to trade for? Wiggins. And then that gives them that wing player.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like it's going to be someone who's in desperate need of a guard, a point guard, and I'm going to give up. I'm not going to give up a big. I mean, if they want to pull the trigger on, you know, Wiggins this early, I mean, that could be a move. But for the most part, I mean, you're giving up. You're going to give up a positionless player for a point guard. you're gonna give up some guy who can play the 2-3-4 for a strict point guard. So, you know, I don't, unless they already have the piece that they're gonna make a deal with, I don't know why.
So you're saying it's better off for Minnesota to keep Wiggins, but for Golden State, they'll be fine if they work with
no, I think that's pointless. That's horrible.
Get him through next year. You don't have Clay for next year.
You don't have Clay, Iggy, or
Kevin Durant.
Clay, Iggy, Kevin Durant, possibly no Cousins. I'm not sure what we're expecting here. Like, if this team started off 3-12, are we really surprised? Like, are we really surprised? Like, I mean,
Well, do you think they have another move to make?
They don't have anyone. Hmm. They don't have. Right now, you have.
Or you flip D'Angelo for two players.
You have. What I'm saying is, right now you have D'Angelo and Curry. Mm-hmm. Right, who's proven that they can put the ball in the basket. Draymond has shown he's not really Draymond if Clay is not there. Like, you know, it's like they work like peanut butter and jelly. Mm-hmm. You know, he got Clay the ball. That's where he got his assist from when he did the pick and pop and drive. So you kind of take away Draymond too. So basically you just have Steph and you have Steph. You have Steph and D'Angelo out there, two guards playing with no one else around them. Mm-hmm. I personally don't expect this, you know, the Golden State to really perform, in the wins.
Playoff team?
With the roster right now, it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. It's really going to be tough. Like, they don't really have any substance there. They have two guards. It's like you got CJ McCullough and no one else. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's one of those things to say, all right, well, I wouldn't be surprised if they start off rough. You know, it's not the same, you know, yeah. It's not the same team.
That's tough news for Golden State. I mean, I think for the West, though, you know, it's the talk about Houston, right, after the playoffs, this was 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. that James and Chris weren't getting along. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're exploring trading everybody or whatever. You're better off just staying pat. Like, that's what Portland did. We got our core. Keep your core. Because there's going to be a lot of changes, especially Golden State.
But
so the throne is open.
Listen. If you're not... Okay, so everyone who's moved right now... No one has gotten better but the Lakers because they added a superstar. Because they added a superstar in Anthony Davis, they're the only team that got better for 2019-2020 season as of right now. Golden State has gotten worse.
Talking about in the West or everywhere?
Everywhere. Golden State.
You don't think Miami got better with Jimmy?
Who did they lose? West Side?
They moved Whiteside.
And they lost Richardson.
But
they got Jimmy, but did they even make the playoffs last year? No. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter.
Well, it matters if they make it this year.
They don't get Jimmy Butler and become a contendant. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Boston, they went backwards.
I'd say Brooklyn got better. You're not going to have KD, but they got better with Kyrie alone.
Kyrie proved that he couldn't even take that team to the playoffs. I mean, do anything. So you got DeAndre in Brooklyn. They'll be all right. I mean, Bucks didn't get better so far, as of right now. Philly got worse in my mind, that you lose a go-to guy, a all-star, no matter what his locker room antics are. You miss a guy.
I don't think it was ever really a problem there to me. It was but I think it was addition by subtraction for them, because they kept the right guy. We said before was Tobias Harris, because it'll give him more opportunity, and he's a guy that.
But what I'm saying is,
he got less looks than he was getting in LA.
But again, I like what they did.
Uh-huh.
See, they were supposed to keep the team intact. Like, you didn't make it to the championship because of a bounce, mm-hmm. a God-given lucky bounce to a good guy. That's where your chances of probably being champions went out the window. So to lose Jimmy Butler, who's a gamer, and to lose J.J. Redick, your shooter, and bring in Al Horford, you went backwards. That's called backwards.
But you didn't think they were going to keep all that core four.
You didn't have to pay Ben Simmons this year. Mm. You didn't have to.
Well, they didn't pay him until after those guys moved.
But that's what I'm saying. You didn't have to. You could have gave Jimmy Butler that money, went into next season, and see what your group did for next season, which technically would probably have been the team in the East if Kawhi leaves. Mm-hmm. So if Kawhi leaves and actually left, Philly would have been the powerhouse in the East because there's no one there. With your same unit all intact, you would have been the favorites to be in the championship next year. Bucks didn't get better. You guys would have been it. So the fact that you lose an all-star, an all-NBA player, you bring in an old Al Horford at that price. At that price, I personally think it's too much for what he brings. I'm pretty sure they have to. He's going to be the backup.
You don't think he starts at the four?
Start at the four?
Hmm.
Wow,
he might not get the minutes, but he'll be the starter.
You start him at the four, Tobias at the three. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got worse. Is all I'm saying. Who else is out there?
I was going to say Lakers.
Lakers gotten better.
They're going to have to add still.
Yeah, but from there.
I bring that up is, who do you think they should? This is something that you brought up last year. I think it definitely makes sense now.
What?
Melo.
But those are just little pieces.
But that's a good place but for that's him.
That's what I'm saying. Lakers is little pieces. You don't have to do nothing drastic. Even if you get Kawhi going to the Clippers doesn't put any threat on you guys. That's what I'm saying. There's what happened.
You think they'd still be better than the Clippers?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Because you have two dominant players. Two dominant players. You have two megastars on one team. That's the difference.
They need a point guard, though.
it don't matter. You can I can play point guard at that point. You can put anybody at the point guard. You have two megastars. The point guard just has to get the ball fucking past half court. Mm-hmm. Give it to the megastars. Let the megastars do what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, so with that being said, is what other teams now have two megastars on their team? No one. So because of
Chris Paul, James Harden, Paul George, Russell Westbrook.
Okay, two megastars that don't bump heads. Let's try that one again.
Okay.
You know, Chris Paul is still a megastar, but the fact that he has to get the ball from another megastar. So you got two guys that play in the same realm. You know, if Chris Paul was the point and James Harden played the shooting guard, like a shooting guard, then yeah, I mean, you got that team being dangerous. But that team that team still needs, they need improvements. Mm-hmm. You know, like PJ Tucker should be coming off the bench.
Yeah, but
you cannot.
I guess that's what I was getting back to, is what I was saying about Golden State. So they've decreased, right? Mm-hmm. Gone down big. For a team like what Denver is, what Portland is, all we had to do was stay consistent. We were right there last year. We can be right.
But you were
take that spot.
You were right there, but you was not there. You were so far away still.
Yeah, but now these guys are out of my way.
You were still far away. Is what I'm saying. Is as good as you did, you're still far away from that championship.
But they don't have to worry about chemistry or if everybody's no, but they still don't. Blazers, you paid Dame, right thing to do, right?
Blazers,
Rodney Hood, guy you got in the season, paid him, kept him.
Yeah, that's the matter. You need more people. You need more weapons. You don't have enough weapons.
They have Nurkic, who was hurt.
Yeah, he comes back. He comes back. Utah didn't do anything.
Mike Conley?
Mike Conley gives them, but they don't have a star. They don't have a go-to guy.
What they have, I mean,
they have a team.
Between Mike and Donovan, I mean, that's as best they can hope for.
Not Utah, but Utah, like that's what I said,
Utah got better.
Utah's still far away. They're years away. Mm-hmm. Denver, nothing's going on over there. No, that's what I meant. I mean, Denver don't have a go-to guy. You know, Mitchell's still trying to find his game still. You know, he's going to be a third-year player. That's what I'm saying. It's right now you have with how everything shifted, you have the Lakers as favorite with Kawhi being open air. With him being open air, you have them as favorites. If Kawhi comes to the West, I mean, he just adds. If he goes to Houston, I mean, that's just any team he adds to in the West now is the favorite. Besides Clippers, you don't have enough. You don't have enough. I mean, they play hard, but they just don't have enough.
I was gonna say, you look what he did with Toronto.
Let me take that back.
I'd say he absolutely is enough.
No, what he did with Toronto, Toronto's play. They got more pieces. When they got Gasol, they got bigs who knew how to work together. Clippers can be all right. That's what I said. But still, the favorite is the two dinosaurs sitting here in LA.
Favorite to get Kawhi.
Yeah. No, favorite to be the champions. Because you still have Kuzma there.
Wait, dinosaurs. What do you mean dinosaurs? You mean like superstars.
Superstars.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, megastars.
Uh-huh. Dinosaurs.
Megastars. Yeah. The number 1-3 man and number 1-4 man on the same team. Yeah.
Yeah. And you got Kuzma still.
So you still got Kuzma. So
they just need to add those little pieces.
They just
got to
add little pieces around. Well,
either way, they got to add little pieces.
Yeah.
If they get Kawhi, that's a wrap.
KCP. At the shooting guard. I mean, you got to, you know what I'm saying? You just got to add little pieces. But right now, as it stands, with Kawhi being in limbo, Lakers are favorite. Everyone's just dismantled their mm-hmm. team. Brooklyn is no threat this year for champions. Philly fucked their team up.
They fucked their team up.
Like,
actually, what they did is they went for it last
year. Philly, why are they not going for Kawhi? They got the money.
Get a meeting.
But you're trying to pay Ben Simmons. And I know what the theory is. Pay Ben Simmons now, so next year, if he's an all-star superstar, we have to pay him more. That's cool. That's cool thinking. But if you can get a whole new player into your franchise to win a championship next year, it's worth it. Because if Philly doesn't pay Ben and they went after Kawhi and landed him, you guys are champs. Mm. And then after that, you do what the fuck you want to do with your team. But, I mean, you dismantled your team. Got rid of Jimmy Butler.
If Toronto doesn't keep Kawhi, then that I would say Philly definitely clear shot at it.
Philly has no shot at the championship.
Okay.
They don't have a guy who can finish the game anymore. Mm. He's gone. You don't have a guy who spreads the floor.
You don't think Kawhi can, I mean, Tobias can be that finisher?
You already had Tobias. Mm-hmm. You already had Jimmy Butler and JJ. So you had three guys.
Tobias faded back with the presence of Jimmy.
But you had three guys. You had four guys who spread the floor.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
But you had four guys who spread the floor mm-hmm. for Ben Simmons to get into the lane. Two of them are gone. That means you have two guys that spread the floor. So that means the lane is going to be congested even further. So that means now when Embiid does his pump fake and he decides to drive, oh, no, there's bodies there now. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's bodies now, baby. Whoever J.J. Redick man is, he's sitting there. Oh, yeah, Jimmy Butler got y'all. Oh, he's sitting there now. You know, you don't have a last two-minute guy. Bucks don't have a last two-minute guy. You know, you don't have guys who can finish. You know,
I'd say that Chris, takes over. They just pay Chris Middleton. I think that's their guy.
Was he that guy last year? Just because he got paid doesn't make him that guy. If you didn't hit a fucking big shot.
By paying him, they're saying they.
If you didn't hit a big shot last year, if you didn't get the ball the last 2 minutes of last year, if you didn't get the ball and do ISO last year, whatever you got paid this year don't make you that guy. It doesn't. You're the same fucking guy.
Keeping him, they're saying you're
the same guy that did what you did last year. You're going to do that this year. A go-to guy is built. You're a go-to guy. That's what you already instill in your body. Jrue Holiday, if he got paid $10 million or $50 million, at the end of the game, he's getting the fucking ball. Lou Williams, $5 million, $40 million. At the end of the day, at the end of the game, he's getting the ball. That's what a go-to guy is. Philly don't have that guy anymore. Bucks never had that guy. So you have two franchises right now who didn't really move anywhere. They're just, you know, huh? They're just there. Boston?
Who is it, Boston?
No.
I mean, you have Kemba.
You have Kemba.
Is that guy.
Kemba's that guy.
You have Jason.
You have Jason Tatum. You lose veteran Al.
But mind you, they still have Jaylen Brown and
Boston.
Gordon Hayward.
You know, Boston's gonna be. You know what? Thinking about it, Boston should be better because what?
They also don't have Terry Rozier.
Because what Kemba Kemba brings in. He brings in the same factors that Kyrie does, but with less dribbles. Mm-hmm. So that means more shot attempts gets passed around, you know, throughout the rest of the team.
So that'll vibe better with Jason and Jaylen.
Yeah, I think.
And so. Actually, Gordon too.
Yeah, I think so. I think you know those players play a lot better with Kemba. Mm-hmm. You know, because Kemba's not—he's not there for the oohs and the ahs. He's just there to get his buckets.
But you get the oohs.
You know, I'd rather have a guy who gives me 27 quick ones than 23 oohs and ahs plays. Who else?
So there's your team.
Yeah. Even if Kawhi goes back to, Toronto, they're still not favorite. They're not favorite.
Overall?
No.
Favorite out of the East for sure.
Favorite out of the East, but they're not favorite.
Favorite out of the East most likely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Out of the East. But they're not favorite. I don't see how they control LeBron and Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. You know. And that's why I think Vegas already had them as their favorites, because they knew something was coming.
That was before the Anthony Davis.
Yeah, that's what I said, before Anthony Davis. So,
they definitely knew that something was coming.
As of right now, no matter what, I give championship next year to the Lakers.
All right. There it is. Good news, LA.
Yeah, just on paper, mm-hmm. I don't see how anyone, because with the Lakers last year, before anyone got hurt, they were second in the West with that crap ass team. You know, they were second in the West. They were playing well. Then injuries started.
Crap-ass team, but LeBron, I'm saying, LeBron, though.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, then everyone started getting hurt. And, right. You know, that's what
happened. Yeah, that LeBron was at 14 games. It was over a month.
Yeah.
That really set him back.
Yeah.
So, healthy LeBron, of course, game changer. Then you add him and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, which is another game changer.
Right, you know? Right. How about those game changers? All right, so. Good news for you, Lakerland.
Yeah, I mean. As I can see right now, if you know Kawhi comes, it's just a fuck you. We're going to try to win championships next 3 years. You know that's move
Avengers
is.
Avengers right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
If Kawhi comes to LA, what Brooklyn did is meaningless.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least for a year too.
No, it's meaningless. Even with Kevin Durant back full healthy. It is meaningless. It's meaningless now.
Well,
the hopes of what they did in champion, it's meaningless.
LeBron ain't getting any younger.
He got someone else who can do it.
I know, and I think that's what it is.
That's what I'm saying.
He's handing it off. He is saying, this is my exit route. I'm going to hand it off to you.
If Kawhi and Anthony Davis, who are both under 30, come to LA, LeBron James, the number one small forward in the NBA right now, is the third option.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Say what? He's a third option.
Yeah.
He's a fucking third option. As I said, at that point, Brooklyn does not matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get to the finals.
Because now you have the number one small forward. We'll put him in real perspective. By 2020, we can say, all right, LeBron is number one, small forward. Kevin Durant's number two, Kawhi Leonard's number three. So you have one and three on the same team. And then you have the number one power forward with one and three. Yeah, they know. Yeah. There's no beating that.
Probably not.
That what's so funny is that would be better than what Golden State ever done.
Hmm.
Because
better than that Miami team.
No, what I'm saying is with Kawhi, you had Curry, you know, he was top two point guard. Kevin Durant, you know, went back and forth, one and two at the small forward. But their third best player, Klay, was never, you know, he was never top five shooting guards, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, basically LeBron James is the Klay Thompson.
Mm.
You know, out of the trio,
LeBron 35 this year.
No, but what I'm saying is he'd be the third option.
But he also, by the way, should be.
Yeah, but as I'm saying, your third like, option is LeBron perfect James. Way to play so it, though, they would know? Be more dominant than
yeah. Well, like we said, we could wrap it on this. Take your time, think about it.
Who, Kawhi?
Yeah,
I personally think that you know when people ask like, he just won a championship. Why would he leave? You know, it depends on what a guy values at this point. You know, probably one championship was all he really wanted. He got two of them with two NBA, you know, NBA MVP finals. So, you know, what's next for him? You know, maybe, you know, he wants to be home. So his, you know, mom can come to 41 games. Shit, if he's in LA or Clippers, 43 games. Because you play, you know, one of the other ones mm-hmm. twice. So you get your mom gets, you know, and your family gets 43 games of you. You know, that's what I'm saying. We don't know what, you know. But when you say, oh, yeah, your team is a champion, you can win another championship. Some players just have things to take off their bucket list. Well, everyone's not trying to win 20 championships.
If there's, I mean, Kawhi doesn't say much, right? If there's anything we know about him and we can learn from him, he won a championship in San Antonio and he didn't want to stay there. And that was with that same coach who was a damn good coach, one of the best ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said.
He's going to do what he wants to do. It does make a lot of sense. And also with KD, you know, he did his thing in Oklahoma, gave that franchise everything he had, said, look, I want to go get a championship.
I want to go get a championship.
That's what this thing is about.
And now, we don't know.
I think what he did now is perfect. I mean, maybe if he went to D.C., because that's where he's from. But we don't know. But I want to be in New York.
But we don't know what, we don't know what his eye is on right now.
I think he just wants a franchise that it really is his. Even if it's Kyrie is there, we know it's Alpha. We know Batman and Robin. You know, it's KD. And New York is the biggest market, best place to play. So he's saying, if I'm going to plant my flag someplace, it's going to be in New York.
I mean, he goes anywhere and plant his flag. I mean,
yeah. So you know, he went where he wanted to go.
Huh?
He went where he wanted to go. He could go anywhere. Anywhere would have him.
Anywhere he would have planted his flag.
He could have been here in L.A., but he wanted to be in New York.
Yeah. It's cold.
A lot of money there.
Yeah.
All right.
All righty. See what's next.
Birmingham. That's what's next.
Birmingham.
You're on the circuit.
Yeah. Oh, man, my body was
killed. They call that back the Chitlin circuit.
Hey, you know what's funny is our game ended at, what, 1?
Mm-hmm. 2. It was a 1 o'clock game.
It was a 1 o'clock game?
Yeah.
By 3:05, I was asleep in a coma. I didn't wake up.
No. You didn't leave because you had the press conference after.
But what I'm saying is once I got home, I didn't even eat. It was like 10 minutes in the room, took my stuff off, out, gone. I didn't wake up until like 9 o'clock. It was like, where's the world?
That's what I mean. It wasn't that you were winded or conditioned. It was like the adrenaline and everything. It's like a kid that wakes up early on Christmas.
But I wasn't excited.
But yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't. Adrenaline is like overhyped.
You
like,
don't have to be off the wall, but you were internally it was burning a lot.
No, I gotta remember.
Like you barely ate.
I haven't played in 6 hours. I haven't played in 6 years.
Yeah,
8 minutes of that wore me out.
Yeah,
that's
not, like, you're saying it's not adrenaline.
Yeah, it's not adrenaline. Like if you're in shape right now, and I put you in an NBA game. You're going to be worn out from the bodies, the hitting. Your body's never, hasn't been through that in a while. Mm. You know, being excited is, like adrenaline would have had the free throw. I would have bounced that all off the backboard. I would have hit the fucking top of the backboard.
Yeah, but you settled in after that. After that, you came off the bench the first time. Like when you played the first.
My first shot would have, if I had adrenaline, my first shot would have been airball. I would have shot that motherfucker over the rim because I'd have been so excited.
Yeah, you weren't keyed up like that. I know that. But I'm saying when you sat, whatever that was, 5 minutes in or something like that, then came back, you were more settled in.
I was settled in the beginning.
Yeah.
I come out the gate.
I thought that was the team, though, too. Everyone was a little.
That's what I said. Their adrenaline was running. They couldn't hit shit.
Well.
Fuckers couldn't hit a motherfucking thing.
All right. Well, Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Back down south.
Playing the. Who playing? Oh, we're playing Ghost Ballers. Playing against the new Mike Bibby. Mm. The strong one.
Swole Mike Bibby.
The strong one, yeah.
Who else they got?
Carlos Boozer, Ricky Davis. Ricky
Davis, right.
Taylor. You know, he comes off with a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
All right, good luck to us.
Yep. All right, Birmingham.
Here we come.